get started by asking the director to call the roll.
Stephen Bergeron?
Present.
Evan Veneziano, absent. Rob Pearson?
Present.
Gabriel Vergara?
Present.
Laverne Toombs, absent. Vincent Lieber?
Present.
That's four members, that's two and four.
All right, thank you. Next up on the agenda is a review of the minutes. Commissioners, have you had a chance to review the minutes that were circulated for July and August of last year? Does anyone have any questions for the staff or corrections to the minutes? Should we entertain a motion to accept the minutes?
So moved.
Do we have a second for that?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Next up is the chair's report. I'm sad to report today that our dear friend Commissioner Tony DiMaggio has resigned from her AIA seat on this commission to allow a new AIA member to be nominated to take her place. Tony has served this commission faithfully since August of 2019, filling a seat previously held by Nick Musso. Since her appointment, Tony has sat on both the full commission and the architecture committee, a thrice monthly commitment. As vice chair, Tony stepped up to lead our commission meetings while I was out on paternity leave late last year. Anyone who sat in on an architecture committee meeting with Tony knows the great care, thoughtfulness, and scholarship Tony brought to the table. I am so grateful to have had the opportunity to serve with her and learn from her. The appointment process for Tony's replacement is already underway. The AIA has forwarded their recommendations to the mayor's office. As I understand it, the mayor's office is also in receipt of a list of recommendations for our at-large domicile seat vacancy. Once the mayor has made her selections, new appointees need only be confirmed in two council meetings, first the Government Affairs Committee and then the full council. I'm hopeful that we'll have all of our commission seats filled by April of this year at the latest. And finally, I'm pleased to report that the mayor's appointment from the Louisiana State Museum, Ms. Sandra Shillstone, has been confirmed by the council and will be joining us beginning with our February meeting. I'm grateful for Ms. Shillstone's willingness to serve and look forward to meeting her next month. Now we'll have the chair's report.
Director's report.
Yes, the director's report.
Thank you. Want to briefly update the commission on Madam John's legacy. We have been working, as you know, in conjunction with the State Facility Planning Office and their director. They have agreed to recommendations that we made at an on-site meeting in November, and they are following through with these recommendations. And what that means is that the roof is almost completely finished. We have some concerns that there are still openings in the roof on the cheek walls of the dormers, which is problematic, obviously, during this wet season. We have made our concerns aware to facility planning more than once, and we're hoping that they will close those at least in some temporary fashion immediately so we avoid further damage on the interior. They will be installing 12 by 12 posts at the ground level and at the front gallery level. These are just square temporary posts. This was as per our recommendation so that they're not misconstrued to be permanent materials. There will be a temporary balustrade at the gallery level and temporary metal fencing for security at the ground level. It's our hope that this will be, for a short period of time while the historic structures report is researched, drafted, and then permanent recommendations can be made. So we have a great relationship working together with facility planning, which is something that we're trying to maintain, so we're very pleased how things are moving forward. I'll keep everyone posted as that progresses. And I also wanted to let the commission know that we are working with a member of the CAO's office who's drafting some potential legislation to allow the VCC to levy fines for illegal demolitions. This is something that the HDLC currently has. It's not been something that the VCC has had in the code. It hasn't primarily been an issue. We don't deal with a lot of illegal demolitions. in the Duke Array, which is something that we're very grateful for. But my feeling is that I would rather have it in the code in case something like that would happen, because I think obviously in the world in which we live, where there's a lot of aggressive development, that is potential always. And so I wanted to make sure that we have the same protections that they have in the HDLC. I'll be working with you, Tommy, to make sure that you're aware of how this is proceeding, of course, keep everybody abreast of how things are going. And that is all I have to report.
All right, thank you. Would that new legislation be, I guess, comparable to what the HDLC has?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So. Commissioners, any questions on the director's report or the chair's report?
Do they have a timeline on estimated completion?
For the Madam Johns?
Yes, for the chamber.
No, and the reason, because we don't know how long it's going to take to draft the historic structures report, and then from that, they'll make determinations on what the modifications need to be. So it could stay in this temporary state for a year or more as this is drafted and analyzed. And so what we wanted to make sure is that it's secured and structurally sound, but not to be misconstrued as something that's permanent, that the State Museum or the state itself would, you know, hesitate to replace with something more appropriate. They had recommended at first doing brick piers at the ground level and chamfered posts above, and I made the point that I'm very, very doubtful that the state would then decide to remove those once that's determined to be inappropriate. But something like a 12 by 12 post, nobody's going to misconstrue that as being something permanent.
All right, any other questions, commissioners? Question for the director or the staff. Have you guys gotten any update on the archaeology at St. Louis Cathedral? Have you been over there to check it out?
I believe we did get a copy of the report.
I know Marguerite went there.
Yeah.
Marguerite and Renee went there. I've passed by a couple times and seen and talked to them. I think they've mostly just done, you know, broken bits of glass and assumes what they're doing.
Yeah, we can forward what we have, you know, but I don't have anything to report about it right now.
Okay. Yeah, I'd be very interested in that.
I will say one of the pictures has a really cool ash line in the foundation that you can see from where the fire happened. So that was one of the cooler things I've seen while I've worked there.
All right. With nothing else on that, we'll move on to new business. First under new business is 93941 St. Philip Street. Do we have an applicant? We do. So let's have the staff report.
939-41 St. Philip Street is an orange-rated post-1946 construction main building, brown-rated garage. This is a proposal to demolish the existing short orange-rated structure and construct a new two-story main building and service cell per application materials received November 14th, 2023 and December 4th, 2023, respectively. This property was recently sold to new owners following many stop work orders, nearly 20 years of violations, and tens of thousands of dollars in fines for the illegal enclosure of the courtyard in 2004. The proposed work was initially conceived as an addition to the orange-rated 1963 wood-framed brick veneer building. Currently, the building resembles a three-bay masonry Creole cottage. Contrary to its appearance from the street, the building's original unenclosed massing is an unusual U-shape, with the courtyard located in the middle of the site, not at the rear where the garage doors would indicate. Since the cost of the new work is considered a substantial renovation and the current wood frame construction is in bad condition and unlikely to be viable for an addition, the proposal now is to demolish the orange-rated building and construct a new two-story main building with rear-attached service cell. The new buildings will be a stucco finish and include a covered wraparound balcony at the main building. The illegally enclosed courtyard will be restored, bringing the property back into compliance with CZO open space requirements. Sidewalk encroachment will not exceed the currently existing Abbott Vaughn, but will not be considered historic for the purposes of air rights. Chapter 14 of the design guidelines lists design principles which must be considered when evaluating the appropriateness of proposed new construction and additions. This includes scale, height and width, building form and massing, site coverage, orientation, trim, detail, materials, etc. The applicant submitted conceptual plans, elevations, and 3D views showing the building in context so height and proportion could be compared. The massing appears very traditional from the street, but site coverage is unique since the design was initially conceived as an addition to the unusual orientation of the orange-rated building's courtyard. Finer design elements such as trim and detail, materials, ironwork, etc., will be all reviewed further at the committee and staff and committee levels as the project proceeds into design, development, and construction documents. The committee found the work conceptually approvable and has forwarded a positive recommendation for the new construction and demolition. Staff notes that the commission finds the demolition of the orange-rated building approvable. A 30-day layover period is required before permits can be issued, so the commission must re-review the proposed demolition again at least a month from now. Additionally, demolitions cannot be permitted until replacement work has gone through final approval.
All right, thank you. Applicant, please state your name, address, relationship to the property.
Catherine Harmon, LK Harmon Architects, 6238 Argonne Boulevard, New Orleans.
Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report?
I want to thank Aaron and the staff for working with us from before we even put pencil to paper on this project, and it really has been a great process, and we're going to have a great product. I agree with everything in the staff report and the drawings for themselves, but I'm here to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you. Commissioners, do you have any questions for the staff or the applicant?
Has this been reviewed by safety and permits or any other?
No, this here is the first step.
Okay.
The architectural committee.
So, while conceptual approval is given, do you guys see any need for them to go to safety and permits? Like, are they, especially with the open air?
As part of the design development stage, at least, that is very, right now it's still a little schematic for what safety permits usually like to look at. I think once we get into design development, it would be a very smart idea to meet with probably Megan Murphy before we start proceeding into CDs.
But I do know that we do comply with the open space requirements. I've checked that early on, because if we would have had to go back and undo design, that would have been a problem.
And I think the only other thing I have is a comment. I know we've looked at these documents before, and I think it's a positive move for sure for this corner. I think the only comment that I would have, and I don't, you know, this is new construction, and I don't know what the balance is between having something that's contextual but not looking historic, especially since this is going to be a new construction. And I know that the committee would work towards making sure that that was, you know, we're not recreating history, but that it would feel somewhat contemporary, even though it's in the context of the Rue Carrée. So that would just be my only comment as it moves forward in design.
All right, commissioners,
you're saying that it should or should be?
I think there's got to be. I'm sure that, you know, staff and the architectural committee would work with architect to make it so that it's not completely contemporary, but contextual.
Gotcha.
But then still have a feel that if you look at that building, that you know that it's not 100 years old.
Gotcha. No, I agree.
And I think you can see that in the conceptual drawings that we have. You know, the detailing, the windows indicate that it is something that is contemporary, but is more dealing with the context.
Yeah.
Than trying to mimic fully a historic building.
Commissioners, any other questions or comments?
With it being a new roof line, have you all looked at as far as any issues with drainage or anything of that sort?
Thought that all out. We haven't been so detailed as to draw a detailed drainage plan.
Okay. And I'm assuming it's the pool area coming out?
No, the pool is staying, but right now it's covered in. It was an illegally enclosed courtyard.
Correct. Yeah.
So now we're unenclosing it and leaving it to be an exterior courtyard pool like it originally was.
Gotcha. And then what about, I see it's like a, looks like the, if I'm looking at this right, the enclosed area looks like it was a built up floor with some type of tile on it. Would all that be?
That's all demo- coming.
That will be coming out and make a...
I mean, the pool is staying.
Gotcha, gotcha.
The decorative, if you will, surrounds and so forth.
All this. Okay, all right.
How about the mural on the bottom of the pool?
That's why they bought the house.
The what?
Is what the owner said.
The mural, we can't protect that, but there's a painting on the bottom.
Yeah, they actually do like that.
It's great.
It is.
All right, commissioners, any other questions or comments? Do we have any public comment? Staff, do we have the door open over here in case? Okay, great. All right, seeing no public comment. Commissioners, is it time to entertain a motion?
Just another quick question. So we would sort of make a motion one way or the other, but according to this, this project will come back to us?
Yes.
Next month, and at that point, what are we doing?
So the requirement as far as the layover is a 30-day layover, so it's a minimum of a month until the next meeting. The way it's actually going to work is, since we're at conceptual design right now and no permits can be issued for any of this work anyway until we get through DD and CDs, is actually once we get to the point that we've done DD or CC or CD review and it's gone through committee a few more times and it's a much bigger set, that's when we'll bring it back to commission for final approval and approval of the demolition completing that 30-day labor. So okay. It doesn't have to be 30 days. It can be 6 months. It just can't be any less than 30 days.
Okay.
And I do want to say for the record, since this is a rescheduled hearing, it will not be up here in the February hearing because of the 30-day requirement. So it would be a minimum of March.
Okay. Any other discussion? Are we ready for a motion?
Make a motion to conceptually approve 939 St. Philip.
All right.
A second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. Motion passes. Thank you. Next up on the agenda is 921 to 25 Burgundy with the same applicant. So let's have the staff report.
Sure. 921 through 25 Burgundy is a green-rated main building. This is a proposal to build a new 2.5-story dependency in the rear yard per application materials received December 20th, 2023. The 2.5-story dependency proposed in 2021 has been resubmitted for review. It was conceptually approved by the committee and commission, but never returned for design development construction documents. Construction will require demolition of two sheds and the rear property line wall, which partially collapsed as a result of Hurricane Zeta in November 2020. 1876 and 1896 Sanborn maps show a two-story dependency previously existed on the site, but was not located at the very rear of the property. The proposed dependency is set 1 foot from the rear North Rampart side property line and 3 feet from the St. Philip and Dumaine side property lines. Staff notes that the site plan does not show the existing brick courtyard walls, but the survey indicates that the St. Philip walls falls on the neighboring property while the Dumaine side wall is shared. The footprint of the new construction is shown as 32 feet by 17 foot 4, with a 3 foot 10 balcony accessed by a straight run wooden stair on the Dauphine side of the Burgundy elevation. The overall height measures 36 by 4, well within the height limits of the CZO. The Burgundy elevation is divided into three bays with 8 light double panel French doors, 4 light transoms, and board and batten shutters. These are noted as having simulated divided lights, which is not permitted per the guidelines and should be revised to use true divided lights. The second floor balcony is shown with typical columns, but the rail design has not yet been developed. The Dumaine and St. Philip elevations have 6/6 windows on the first and second floors. The BCC Design Guidelines chapter on new construction, additions, and demolitions states that the BCC recommends designing a new secondary building or structure to complement the period and style of the principal building and other buildings on the site. This includes using similar form, materials, colors, and simplified detailing, locating a secondary building or structure away from the principal entrance or street elevation, constructing a new secondary building in a manner that does not damage other resources on the site, and respects the footprints and foundation of all prior secondary structures as well as potential architectural resources. Recognizing that what might be appropriate at one property is not appropriate in another, the BCC does not mandate specific design solutions for new construction or an addition. However, when determining the appropriateness of new construction or addition, the BCC is guided by the Secretary of the Interior Standards and the general design principles, including scale, building form and massing, setback, orientation, facade proportions, etc. Staff notes that additional details and review at the committee level will be required prior to permit issuance, including development of structural and millwork details and MEP plans. Committee found the proposed new construction conceptually approvable and recommended the project be forwarded to the commission for their consideration prior to design development.
Thank you. Applicant, do you have any response to the staff report or presentation?
I agree with everything. We've since corrected the typo about simulated divided lights. And we've added the courtyard masonry walls also to the site plan. Agree with the staff report.
All right. Commissioners, any questions for the staff, the applicant?
Just one quick question, and it's just for my own benefit. I'm noticing that the stair run is a straight run. What was the reason for that versus a switchback?
I think that's what the client wanted. You know, she uses that courtyard for, you know, canning and like patio plant, where she's very active and has parties back there. This was previously designed by another architect several years ago, and it was approved conceptually by y'all. Mm-hmm. And that's how the stair was there, so that's why it's pretty much the same design.
It's also not uncommon to see straight run stairs and service cells.
Mm-hmm.
And you will get switchbacks, but sometimes you'll get L shapes as well.
Yeah. I guess I, too, because I'm just kind of interested to know what's happening below the stair. And I know it's still under development.
What's the material of the stairs, and what's it wrapped in?
The stair is wood.
So, I mean, is it finished in like a paint, or is this going to be just an unfinished?
It's stucco.
The stairs.
The stair will have to be painted, yeah.
This one.
The stair.
And because this is new construction, do they have the, you know, they have a little bit more flexibility in the material choices for like decks and stairs and things like that?
They can use aratus, things like that, yeah.
Do you have any public comment? I don't see any public comment. Commissioners, do we have any final discussion? Are we ready for a motion?
I make a motion to conceptually approve 921 with details to be worked out at staff level. Oh, but it does have to go back to the committee, correct?
It will, yes.
Yeah. What's be worked out was to go back to committee and the staff as well.
Okay. So. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None opposed. Motion passes. Next up on the agenda is, under new business, is 814 Governor Nichols. I see we have an applicant, so let's have a staff report.
14 Governor Nichols is a green-rated main building and service cell. This is a proposal to install HVAC equipment and platform on the service cell roof. Her application materials received January 8, 2024. The applicant proposes to relocate an existing condenser and add one additional new unit at the rear galvanized metal platform, measuring 5'4" by 10'10", to be built where the rear service cell meets the main building. A new 22-inch by 30-inch roof hatch is proposed for installation between the existing service cell roof rafters. The platform provides a 30 by 30 access space for maintenance of the units and a safety rail. BCC staff visited the site and found the proposed area minimally visible from the courtyard, and it appears from satellite imagery and street views that the equipment and platform will not be visible from any surrounding properties. The design guidelines state that wherever possible, equipment should be located to be visually unobtrusive, typically on a rear slope of a roof surface or concealed behind a parapet. The installation of rooftop mechanical equipment, such as an air conditioner compressor unit, generator, or similar equipment, is not permitted where it will be visibly obtrusive. Every effort should be made to shield the equipment from view and minimize associated noise. Since this is a discrete location that is minimally visible, the committee found the proposed work conceptually approvable, with the application to be forwarded to the commission as required by the guidelines for the installation of rooftop equipment. Final review of the equipment will be handled at staff level.
All right, thank you. Applicant, please state your name, address, relationship to the property.
Lee Ledbetter, 814 Governor Nichols Street, Long Island, and I'm the owner.
Do you have a response or presentation?
I don't. I think the staff review is very clear and thorough.
All right, commissioners, do you have any questions for the applicant and staff?
Is there a screening on this, or is it just, or is the platform just open with rail?
It's open, and the rail's open. So the rail's not required to follow the 4-inch rule, mm-hmm. because it's just a it's mechanical rail. Mm-hmm. But it is open. Okay. We didn't look at screening because you really can't see. You can't see this from, certainly not the public right of way. There may be a window two properties away that could see it through trees, but it really is minimally visible. I mean,
and I've visited the site, and it's true. Yeah. They can't see it. It's about the most discreet location for AC units.
Yeah, I feel very fortunate, actually. There was one slide, I don't know if it's forward or backwards, that looked through. There's a small alley between that slide right there. So through that alley from across the street, if the units were going to be taller than the parapet, so you're seeing the parapet wall in the L, mm-hmm. going back, if the units were going to be taller than the parapet, you would get a glimpse of the top of them, maybe, in perspective, maybe not, but they're not. They're going to be below the parapet height. And we've gotten the spec sheets on the units, and those have all been provided to the commission.
And it's a pre-existing unit, right?
One of the units is existing in the courtyard. The second unit in the courtyard we're replacing because it's too loud. And so it's actually pretty new, but it's a really loud unit. So we're going to get a quieter unit, and we have the spec sheets provided for that as well. And they're the same height.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to, whatever the noise level.
Yeah, and they're going to also be on acoustic isolators, mm-hmm. to prevent any noise from the mm-hmm. stand itself, the platform itself, from rattling. Which I should say, to minimize it. I don't know if you could fully prevent it.
Commissioners, any other questions?
And do you have to do any major roof work here?
We're replacing the roof anyway. It's an old Eternit roof from the hailstorm in 2000, and it's shot. So when we bought the house, we were aware that the roof had to be replaced. We decided to do this work as long as the roof's being replaced.
Okay.
And that's all been coordinated. The roof replacement's been permitted. Safety permits has this application. They're just waiting for a BCC sign-off, and our price. The contractor is supposed to have a price for me today, mm-hmm. and a contract.
All right. Do we have any public comment? I don't see any public comment. Any final questions, comments? Is it time to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to conceptually approve the plan pending final review of staff.
All right.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, next up, under change of use, is 535-37 Peter Street. Do we have an applicant present? So let's have the staff report.
535-37 Decatur is a green rated, sorry, this is actually incorrect. It is a pink rated main building and courtyard infill. This is a proposal to install new mechanical equipment, including hood vent, and to address outstanding violations in conjunction with the change of use from vacant to restaurant standard per application and materials received August 23rd and December 31st, 2023, respectively. Article 2.10 of the CCO states that within the Vicry Historic District, no occupancy permit shall be issued by the Director of Safety and Permits for any change of use in an existing building until and unless a special permit shall have been issued by the Vicry Commission, except that where no change of exterior appearance is contemplated, such permit by the Vicry Commission shall not be required. Where any change in exterior appearance is contemplated, the Vicry Commission shall hold a hearing, and if it approves such change, shall issue a special permit to continue the same use or for any other use not otherwise prohibited in the district, subject to the following conditions and safeguards. 1, the historic character of the Vicry shall not be injuriously affected. 2, signs which are garish or otherwise out of keeping with the character of the Vicry shall not be permitted. 3, building design shall be in harmony with the traditional architectural character of the Vicry. And 4, the value of the Vicry as a place of unique interest and character shall not be impaired. The following work is proposed in conjunction with a change of use to restaurant standard, which is an allowable use for this overlay district. Work largely consists of the installation of an intake vent and 2 condensers on the lower brown-rated courtyard infill roof at the rear of the site. The exhaust vent duct is shown penetrating this roof and running up the rear elevation of the main building, with the hood vent located a minimum of 10 feet from the rear elevation. The committee found the work conceptually approvable and recommends the commission for a positive recommendation for the change of use to restaurant standard for the Director of Safety and Permits. Other work on the front elevation has been proposed to address longstanding violations at the property, including millwork replacement. This work was found conceptually approved by the committee with revisions and additional information to be submitted for final review at staff level. Another application has been submitted to convert the upper floors to residential. Staff notes that this work is not included in this submittal and additional change of use hearings will be required before permits can be issued for that scope of work.
All right, thank you. Applicant, could you state your name, address, and relationship to the property?
Michael Chen, for 535 and 537 Decatur. I'm the owner.
Okay. Do you have a response to the staff report or a presentation?
Yeah, we're going to comply everything that the BCC requires.
Okay. Commissioners, do you have any questions for the staff or the applicant?
Yeah. Is this exhaust fan going to be visible to the street?
Mm-hmm.
It's on top of the floor.
It shouldn't be visible from anywhere, even the back.
Yeah.
So this change of use is from vacant on the ground floor to a restaurant, but you mentioned that the upper floors are going to be residential.
Later, as part of a separate scope of work. So instead of providing a full scope to address the whole building, they're phasing it. They're doing the downstairs restaurant right now. And then we just received an application to do residential on the upper floors. But since we don't have full drawings and submittal for the work associated with that change of use, we can't consider that change of use today.
Okay.
Would any of the infrastructure that you're doing for the change of use for the restaurant, would that affect, and would that be pre-installed for the residential above?
Only the hook gonna be go to the second floor and third floor inside.
Oh, so just the penetration?
Yeah, penetration all the way up to the third floor roof.
Any other questions, commissioners?
Does this property have a courtyard? Is there any other
exterior
features?
No, only the front entrance.
Okay.
No courtyard surrounding with the wall with the neighbor.
Mm-hmm. So no other architectural features that have to be implemented because of the change in use for restaurant is anticipated? Mm-hmm. No, okay.
So the doors and all that stuff, it won't be no.
There's only one front and two front entrance. There's no back door.
Got you. So no like freight or nothing like that.
No freight coming from the back.
And there's some discussion of some violations on the property.
Yes.
Yeah. What were the violations again?
Mostly related to demolition by neglect and millwork replacement that was done a while ago that was inappropriate. So a lot of the millwork on the front elevation is going to be, it doesn't look as good at that right now. A lot of that is going to be corrected, restored. That's what we're dealing with right now. So quite a few of those windows, the plate glass windows that you're seeing right now are technically mounted to the inside. The historic millwork that was out in front of them deteriorated and needs to be replaced. So it's mostly millwork, vegetation, some downspout replacement, but that's about it with the violations.
Mm-hmm. And then if the first phase of work is gonna be the restaurant space or some of those, are there violations on the ground floor that can also be addressed at the same time?
The millwork. We also were talking about they're removing the wiring, and we're going to have to talk about lighting alternatives. They're in a hurry to get open as soon as possible, so I think we're doing kind of bare minimum right now to get them open, and then some of these other items will be addressed kind of as the additional work that's related to the residential kind of moves forward.
What about the fire escape? Is that being removed as part of this phase or the next?
Maybe next, not right now. We're not touching it yet.
Okay.
Did you say there's no back door?
No back door.
How do you get out?
The entrance is from the left all the way up the stair, all the way up to the fourth floor.
But as far as, I see what he's getting at. As far as like the kitchen's gonna be in the back, right?
This is totally separate entrance. So two entrance from the front is the middle, and the front is that's for the kitchen. That's for the restaurant, and all the way to the left is.
So it goes like the restaurant goes this way.
Correct.
It goes perpendicular to the.
Exactly.
And not back. So the window, the door that's to our right is going to be where the kitchen's at. Is that what you're saying?
The kitchen is occupied the whole first floor, and to the right is the stair go all the way up to the second and third.
But is the kitchen in the back of this building?
All the way back.
So it's in the back. So
all the way back. Yeah.
So the only entry point is through the front.
Yeah.
And the exit through the front.
Correct.
So about trash and things like that.
That's gonna be from the front. They don't have any back door.
It's pretty common, especially in the upper quarter, and with a lot of these buildings being narrower, there's no way to really do two means of egress sometimes. So that's something that the fire marshal and safety permits look at very early. Yeah.
So that opening that's boarded up at this point, is that going to remain?
That's
a window.
That's a window.
It's not. I mean, is that going to be like an opening at some point? Because it sounds to me like the egress will be.
That's a window.
Will be an issue.
Yeah, there's an entrance. The entrance on the Michael, tell me if I'm wrong, but the entrance on the left is what's going to lead into the restaurant, and then the one on the right is stairs that go straight up.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. That's actually two doors in the front of it.
Gotcha. And it's going to be sprinkled?
Oh, it's already sprinkled.
It's sprinkled? Yeah, okay.
Entire building. Yeah, upper floor.
Oh, really? Okay.
The whole building.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes it feel better.
Y'all get a grease trap?
Grease trap going to be inside the restaurant, the first floor.
Under.
They have submitted drawings that have the name of an architect on them, so yeah, I imagine this will all go for state fire marshal review.
It's the commission at ease. We can't issue any permits that are in violation of the building code, so these are questions that will be handled by the fire marshal and Department of Safety and Permits. So we won't be authorizing anything that is, problematic.
Yeah.
So we're at this point just needed to deal with the exterior of the building and how the change of use affects the exterior of the building.
Yeah, I think that's why we were asking the questions, right? Because those things do lead to architectural changes.
Right. It's actually absolutely valid questions. I just wanted to reassure everybody that we will not be authorizing anything that is a life safety compromise or a violation of the building code.
Any other questions or comments, commissioners? If I ask for public comment, do we have any public comment? None. All right, is it time to entertain a motion?
Make a motion to recommend the change of use from vacant to restaurant on the ground floor with additional details to be worked out at the architectural committee level and staff level.
All right. Do we have a second to that?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None opposed. Motion passes. All right. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Next is appeals and violations. First up under appeals and violations is 817 St. Louis Street. We have an applicant, so let's have the staff report.
Sure. 817 St. Louis is a pink-rated main building and service wing with brown-rated courtyard addition. This is an appeal of Architecture Committee denial of a proposal to retain second-floor French doors that do not match the previously existing. Application materials received July 6, 2022 and December 5th, 2023, respectively. Staff sighted the second floor French doors back in March of 2019, as they had been replaced and did not match the previously existing French doors. Specifically, the muntins in the doors were significantly larger in the new doors compared to the old. The transom windows above the doors remained in place and show the difference in muntin sizes, as previously the door and transom muntins all matched. A permit was then issued in May of 2019, which included replacing the muntins to match the previously existing design. It appears from photographs that some work was done to the muntins around this time, but still the muntins are significantly wider than previously existing. The applicant is appealing the architecture committee's denial of the proposal to retain the muntins as built. A drawing provided by the applicant shows that the existing door muntins are a full 1 inch wide, plus an additional 1 inch of window glazing, for a total width of 2 inches. By comparison, the existing transom window muntins, which match the previously existing door muntins, are shown as 7/16 inch wide with an additional approximately 1/2 inch of glazing for a total width just under 1 inch. The guidelines require matching the original materials, type, size, shape, configuration, muntin pattern, dimensions, profile, and detailing. As the existing door muntins clearly do not match the previously existing, staff recommends that the commission uphold the architect committee's denial of the proposed retention.
All right, thank you. Applicant, please state your name, address, and relationship to the property.
Catherine Harmon, L.K. Harmon Architects, 6238 Argonne, New Orleans.
And do you have a response to the staff report?
I came in on this after those muntins were already built. And certainly, if we were doing it from the start, we would match the muntins on the transom. But at this point, the owner really would like to keep the doors. It would be a shame to throw out the doors and start over. I'm not sure you can just change the muntins. The owner would really like to keep the doors in place as they are, over a 1 inch discrepancy.
All right, thank you. Commissioners, any questions for the staff or the applicant? Please note that for appeals and violations, I think the commission, the staff can correct me on this, the commission's role here is to determine if the staff and the architecture committee have gotten the guidelines right, or if there is a hardship that would make us want to recommend allowing retention for some certain period. I don't know that there's any other reason that we could have to approve.
So are they unavailable?
It's not about availability. It's just the mill worker told me that he thought it was better to make them fatter because the doors are to a bar and they take a beating, and he was trying to be sturdy about his design.
So I'm sorry if this was in the report. Were these done with a permit or without a permit?
Initially, no, and then they were supposed to be fixed with a permit.
Okay.
And something happened, but it wasn't a full, we didn't go fully back from that.
Got it.
Were these salvaged or replaced?
You know, that's a good question. I'm trying to figure that out, whether or not he just replaced the muntins. Mm-hmm. You know, they were just beat up and non-functional when he came in on the mill worker. Who my client just like trusted the mill worker to just do it. Whether he just replaced the muntins or the whole door. But in any case, the owner and I would just really not like to throw these doors out and start over.
And you mentioned that. So is there, why? Why wouldn't you just want to replace them? Is it like a financial reason or?
Well, they're functional. They are closely matched to the original, except for the fat muntins. I mean, he will if he has to. He's the kind of guy that will replace them, but he's would like to ask to retain based on the functionality and it's the right amount of lights and.
Looks like it's actually gone.
It's one less light.
Yeah, these are six. Berkeley, this is five.
You are right.
Also, from what I understand with working with mill workers on other projects, if you're keeping the stiles and rails and you're just replacing the sticking, that's not a huge ask. like it, that's doable, that we've seen people do that modification without having to completely replace it wholesale.
Well, that would be a great option, I think.
So the styles match.
But the number of lights sounds right.
But that, yeah, but the number of lights are not correct.
Yeah, it's, it's not correct. That's, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, so, and then it's a bar all across that facade on the second floor?
It's just two doors.
Oh, just two doors. Gotcha. Oh, I see.
And that is a bar upstairs, you know, so they're constantly being used. It's not a residence up there where it's just two people using it occasionally. It is a bar.
It's existing.
Wait, so it's 2018,
19,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it
messed me up too. I thought it was.
Yeah, it's
hard to. Yeah. And it's single pane.
Yeah.
As well, so.
They're about twice as wide as what you would do if you were following the guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a drawing done after fact to show the committee and the commissioners what's going on in staff.
And do you, what's that, what's like the size of, like what's the depth of these frames? I mean, because it seems like, you know, part of the issue is, and I don't know if it could even be considered. I mean, part of the issue is it sounds like not so much security, but there's a concern about the glass being broken.
I haven't heard that. The contractor told me, you know, it was all about they're getting slammed and beat up by bar patrons on close to Brevin Street kind of crowd.
Mm-hmm. The glass itself or the doors?
Both.
You can't save the glass, though. Mm-hmm. So somebody tap the glass, you know. Mm-hmm. Mine's really going to be nice.
And the owner's willing to do whatever. He's a very cooperative building owner. He's got multiple buildings. And he is far from a slumlord. He's a good
owner. All right, commissioners. I guess I should ask for public comment. Is there any public comment on this? I see no public comment. Final discussion. We're ready to entertain a motion.
I would move to uphold the architecture committee's denial of the proposed retention and require that the corrections be made and submitted for approval.
All right, do we have a second for that?
A second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none opposed. I didn't hear Mr. Weaver say aye.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, one, I'm trying to really look to see, like, what are, I mean, maybe y'all can.
I think you need to have another vote. I mean, all the commissioners need to vote to pass the motion.
Yeah.
I guess my question is the requirements of the Muttons. Is there any minimum or maximums of the thicknesses do we have documented?
We have a standard for a door of this age, and it would basically match what was existing. I think in your drawing, you're showing what would be required.
Yeah, half as wide.
Right, about 7/16 inch would be more appropriate.
So the 2018 is what was original.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Right. And really, the loss of the light is more of the hard factor that we're...
It affects the proportions of the doors, and so, mm-hmm. you know, the whole thing just sort of, you know, falls apart.
And if the standard is that my motion was based off the standard that we are looking for, either a misinterpretation of what the guidelines are, or there's some sort of a hardship, like, i.e. the materials you have to get them from...
I was more so looking at the misinterpretation of, like, trying to figure out, you know, I get the door... In 2018, you know, had, I guess, additional light, but does the 2019 concept still fall in line with a replaced bag, knowing that you're losing maybe a light or so, but that's kind of...
Usually when we're writing permits for millwork, we'll include the verbiage from the guidelines that includes, like, all work must match existing in size, profile, dimension, exposure, function, attachment, reveal, all of that. And there's subtle differences between ones that indicate the building was built in the 1830s and if they were built in the 1850s versus the 1870s. There's those slight differences, so that's why we try to really make sure that those details are correct, so that if, even though these are not historic doors, they're still an indicator of the overall age of the building.
And also, if a permit had been obtained, and this is one of the things that we like to emphasize, that, you know, getting a permit ensures that we're doing the work correctly, because we would be requiring shop drawings or drawings from the architect that would be reviewed by the staff, and we would not approve something such as this, so they wouldn't be making a mistake on the road. So it's sort of, it's permitting also serves a function to help the property owner make sure they're doing it correctly. So that's, it's a benefit.
Didn't they get a permit, or they didn't?
No.
Thought you got a permit on this one. Okay, gotcha.
And this is before you got there.
Yeah.
Right, it's no indication of your work.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, we can proceed.
Yeah. I do have another question. So the 2018, the difference between 2018 and 2019, are those styles original and they just applied new muttons? Or is the whole door...
That's why I couldn't.
But I'm happy to hear that in the millwork world, it's not that hard to remove muntins and replace muntins, but keep the styles.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a lot more work
to change the number of lights, though, because you're going to have to fill in all those holes and those cut new.
So it may be worth it to just get
new. Yeah, well, the other thing, too, is that based on the 2018, and I think there was a close-up of the 2019, it looks like somebody applied an astrocold or something to the exterior, where it doesn't seem to be the case in the older one.
I think there is an astrocold on the left one.
And
the
it wasn't done. Great. That'd be on a few years old.
I guess I was trying to figure out, was the original one, did it have a rabbit egg?
I think I see an astragal on some of these old photos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's also not done.
Yeah, it wasn't done. Like.
So yeah, there seems to be a couple of reasons why to potentially replace.
I would recommend restating the motion. Yeah. Take it on vote.
And just for clarification, do we have to vote unanimously because we have a bare minimum quorum?
Yes, you have 7 members on the commission, is that correct?
That is correct.
That to be correct.
All right. That means it would take a majority of the... let me double check that, but I believe it takes a majority of the commission to pass a vote.
A majority of 7.
Majority of 7, that's what I meant.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
That would be everybody.
So.
All right, so... could we have the motion restated?
I would move that we uphold the denial of the architecture committee's decision with respect to the modification of the doors and require that it be corrected and submitted for approval.
Thank you. Do we have a second for that?
I'll second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None opposed. And everyone said aye. Thank you.
And you do have 30 days to appeal this denial to City Council. Thank you.
All right. Next up, under appeals and violations, is 728 Dumaine Street.
Has been referred to the March meeting without coming to us.
All right. Do we have a motion to defer 728 Dumaine Street?
So moved.
Do we have a second?
I second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
That is deferred. Next up is 1118 Burgundy Street. Do we have an applicant? Is this our applicant?
Speaking of Zach Smith.
Okay.
Zach Smith Consulting, 1000 South Normancy Francis, on behalf of the owner and the architect.
Thank you.
Not the architect.
Let's have the staff report.
1118 Burgundy Street. Oh, I'm sorry. 1118 Burgundy Street is a green-rated main building with service buildings. This is an appeal to retain work without permit violations for metal cap flashing and loggia soffit installed without benefit of BCC review and approval per application materials received September 26, 2023. Cap flashing. The cap flashing present at 1118 Burgundy has been in place since about 2007 when it was installed by a previous owner without benefit of BCC review and approval. It was cited as a work without permit violation in 2013 and again in 2020, which has prevented the cap flashing from being considered prescribed. It is unclear when metal cap flashing was installed at the rear buildings, but it was not observed by BCC staff until staff gained access to the courtyard following a series of four stop work orders in 2020. Metal cap flashing is rarely found approvable except in unique circumstances, such as when a parapet is too low to properly counterflash, or if the wall is not historic and needs wood, includes wood framing. On irregularly shaped historic masonry, however, it is difficult for a rigid metal cap to properly close all gaps and prevent water intrusion. Water intrusion in historic masonry will often lead to mortar loss or vegetation growth that then cannot be observed due to the presence of the cap until conditions have been allowed to become more serious. There are also concerns that metal cap flashing is not historically appropriate from a visual perspective and that it can become airborne in extreme weather conditions. For these reasons, metal cap flashing is typically prohibited on historic masonry parapets such as those present here. When reviewed on October 10th, 2023, the committee moved to deny the appeal to retain the cap flashing. Staff recommends that the commission uphold the committee's decision and deny retention. In cases of hardship, the commission has occasionally allowed retention of unapproved cap flashing for a limited amount of time or until the materials reach the end of their lifespan and require replacement, at which point an appropriate mortar cap can be installed. Staff notes that if any deterioration or demolition by neglect at the caps may be cited as a violation in future, even if retention is approved. Flashing, the only roof permit issued for this property in the last 20 plus years was in 2018 for the replacement of dormer flashing with copper. This work used the wrong material, which has not been identified, but is clearly not copper based on visual inspection. Staff's concern is that all non-compatible metals can cause each other to degrade, leading to premature failure. Since all other materials on this roof are copper, use of a similar metal is likely not approvable. However, if more information is provided on what was installed, this could be discussed further at the Architecture Committee. Staff recommends deferral with the applicant to clarify what material was used at the dormer flashing. The loggia soffit, the applicant is appealing to retain the unusual soffit at the loggia at the rear of the main building, which has been atypically modified to include several prominent fir downs. Staff was unsure if there were any compelling reasons to retain the conditions and did not have a recommendation for the committee, instead seeking comment from the committee and or applicant on whether or not it could be found approvable for retention. The discussion at the October 10th meeting focused on other items. This item was deferred, not denied. Staff recommends the soffit be deferred and returned to the committee for further consideration of its architectural merits.
All right, thank you. Mr. Smith has already introduced himself. Do you have a response to the staff report?
Yes, thank you, and thank you, staff and BCC team. I know there's been a lot of back and forth with a couple reps of this group for a while, and I was made aware that I think a general contractor may have acted extremely out of line, so I wasn't present for that, and I wasn't around at that time, but you guys know as my experience in this building, I definitely apologize on behalf of nonsense that's related to the owner who I am working for. Essentially, there was a slide up. It was a grid. There's basically 21 open items. Architects has been working, I think, very well with staff on whittling this thing down. And there's essentially an agreement to effectively fix 18 of these outright, remove things that are non-compliant. The original October meeting was much larger in volume, and it's whittling this down. Outdoor kitchen to be removed, this to be changed, retention application for details, we're going to do door hardware, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's three kind of sticking points, and one of the fundamental things there, and I think the staff report kind of nails the time very well, is, you know, we have the cap flashing from at least 2013, if not before, because it was cited in 2013, and we have other things that predate the ownership of this building. New ownership took this building in 2019. These things all came with the territory, as you guys hear time and time and time and time and time again. People buy these buildings, they inherit these problems. Again, they're outright agreeing to 18 of 21 of these. The other three effectively are asking for, and Ms. Vogt mentioned it in the introduction for the cap flashing, which is please can we retain with a timeline and an agreement that they will be replaced. We'd be happy to record anything actually into the property to make sure that in the event there was a sale, these things are disclosed. As many of these things we know don't get disclosed when they happen. But essentially these are relatively, especially on the soffit, I'm gonna bounce around a little bit, the soffit stuff, they're gonna be relatively cumbersome fixes that they inherited. They're happy to fix those at the time that those things need to be repaired or need to be replaced. But asking for some materials which may present problems in the future, are currently not seeming and presenting any problems now, would just be a little bit in their position, not the best rational time to replace good materials at this time, landfill those materials just to accommodate these very important historic guidelines. I think there's a compromise here of essentially saying, no, you don't get to keep it indefinitely, but you get to keep it for 10 years, 15 years, or at the time they get blown over after a hurricane, et cetera. We'd be glad to have that recorded in the property. Again, so in the event the owners decide to part with this property, the new buyers will never be able to say the same thing I just said, that they didn't know. So these things will be disclosed. So we would love to have outright retention of these three things with the caveat that they must be replaced per VCC guidelines and VCC approval when the time comes.
Okay. So just for the sake of timeline, and you probably have this included in there, but I just want to sort of like consolidate. When this property was sold, were these violations in place? Then they could have been notified that the violations existed.
One out of those three.
Okay.
The cap flashing on the front building had been observed. None of the other violations were observed until the stop work order, which multiple stop work orders, which was all under this ownership. But the soft, and I don't believe that any of these were actually done by the kind of misbehaving contractor that was related to all the stop work orders. I think that these were all in place already, except for the flashing at the rear dormer that we specifically permitted as copper. That was then done in some kind of silver material. That is my biggest concern from, again, you said they're good materials, not landfilling them. If that's stainless and it's not a problem with the copper, then that's something that I could see recommending to the architecture committee for retention. If it's aluminum, then it's just gonna rust. And at that point, then we would wanna see something else done. So. That's why two out of three of these I recommended sending back to the committee.
Mm-hmm. And just for the sake of the commission, I do think it's important to understand that sometimes, and I'm not in any way trying to recommend one thing or the other, but since this is an appeal of a decision that was made at the Architecture Committee, and you're able to look at things in a different way. This property owner bought something in good faith, and it was something that was not cited. They had no way of knowing what those items are. So I just want that to be information that is shared with the commission as you're making a decision.
All right. I have a question. What's the age of the current roof on the main building?
Age of the current roof on the main building? I do not have that information. You're going to try and ask when we think it's going to be replaced?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have no permits on record in the last 20 years.
But no, I don't believe anybody believes it's been replaced in the last 15 years. So I think we all would agree it's 20 plus years old.
And it's all slate.
Okay.
All right. And the current owner is the current owner also the individual who contracted with the contractor who did all the work?
No.
Okay.
The items before you, again, we had the cap flashing cited as recent as in 2013.
Yeah.
We had the flashing was 2018. This, who I represent, started ownership in 2019.
So they did work with that contractor, just not on these.
Not on
items.
These. Again, those are all other things being fixed,
yeah.
Resolved. The ownership and the architect, speaking on behalf of the architect as well, the architect's very upset with the contractor for the way in which the contractor behaved, not only in creating the issues, but how they went well below the belt on dealing with staff. So that's one of the reasons why that contractor's not in this room today. They're not allowed to talk to the public anymore, as they acted very inappropriately.
Well, I guess I'm really asking about the loggia soffit because it looks pretty fresh.
I think it was repainted when they repainted the both buildings, but we don't. I mean, we didn't inspect the back until the first stop work order.
They have photos from the listings
but
in 2018.
It wasn't listed like that.
Mm. Yeah, showing that it was there. So again, they purchased it that way.
Okay.
And for what it's worth on the soffit, that's obviously something that only the occupants of that building see. You know, I play on both sides of this. I see, you know, the cat flashing. People from the street could potentially see that and try and mimic it and parrot it, and that can be, you know, slippery slope. On this particular thing, I think that there's a reasonable way to box this in so that they can't sell it without disclosing it to any, to, you know, they can't market it, sell it without disclosing that this stuff has to be replaced in the correct way. And I think that there's a middle ground there to accommodate for these things that they essentially bought and kind of blew up in their hands.
Do you have a sense for how or why that loggia soffit got built the way it did? Is there some kind of tangled mess of MEP up there?
I do not know, but I think that was probably I think that was a preference. Just looking at it, I think I don't know. It's speculation. And I say preference because there's other things I disagree with in that photo. So
yeah, that fan.
You tell me that was
that fan.
The fan is getting
looking
replaced.
Good.
That is part of the scope work, is replacing the fan.
Surprise, the paint's still on.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, well, I should open it up to the commissioners. Commissioners, do you have questions?
Yeah. Cap flashing, what is the condition of it at this point? Has anyone checked to see if it's in good condition?
I believe there's no report of bad condition. I think it's the same thing where we're looking at something that's about 15 plus years old.
And what's the material?
I don't have my notes. But we'll get an answer on that. Mm-hmm.
So installed, not permitted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we don't know what the condition is because I know that I think part of, and I think staff has expressed it before, part of the reason why this cap flashing could be an issue is that it sort of hides what could be happening underneath.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be some deterioration of the brick that's not known, and then, and I think there was a comment in there that it could be, that it could fly off. So if the seams aren't, you know, properly overlapped, you know, that's kind of, I think that's a cause to even bring to your owners that if they don't know what the condition is and they may need to understand having this cap flashing could be disguising something that they will have to deal with it, you know, at whatever point that is.
Yeah.
It could be a concern. Yeah.
I could see and for what it's worth to try and keep this to where hopefully we can have some finality, a mandate of a roofing inspection to confirm the material, especially on the flashing, that it's approved to be, you know, again, mixing, matching the flashing in the rear, approved if determined to be stainless. Roofing inspection report on the existing cap flashing, same thing, where the staff would have a little bit of flexibility but still look at oversight. So it's not just a blanket, quote-unquote, win-loss today. It's a, there's a little bit of kicking it back with some basic parameters of you need to have an actual roofing inspection. And if you determine that it's inappropriate in a structural and kind of moisture way, yeah, it's got to be replaced right now. If it's determined to be appropriate enough, you get to keep it until it has to be replaced. And the same thing kind of across the board. Again, on the soffit deal, it's going to be a while before that really falls apart because it's protected from UV, it's protected from extreme moisture, but same sort of deal.
What is the material of the soffit?
Soffit, I believe, is painted what? Beadboard?
It's not beadboard. It's some kind of groove. It's not what we would typically
It looks like that tongue and groove pine. Pine wood that, what you call it, like a, you get it at Home Depot.
Is it a composite or is it wood?
No, it's a wood, but it's a, I mean, it's an untreated wood that you paint. And it kind of locks in.
Yeah, and it doesn't.
4x8 board.
It doesn't have a proper bead on it. It's usually like a V groove.
So. All right, commissioners, any other questions? Staff is recommending denial of the cap flashing, deferral of the flashing at the rear, and deferral of the loggia soffit. Applicant has made some interesting proposals for how retention might be negotiated, if you were feeling that way.
Mm-hmm. I think at least a roof inspection needs to be, because I'm thinking if I'm a contractor and we're putting flashing on top of a roof that's existing, there's a reason why we're doing it, especially if the roof hasn't been replaced. So it's probably was issues that they were dealing with while they had to replace it. So I just think in benefit, at least getting an official roof inspection would benefit everybody, I think.
So the owner purchased it in 2019?
Mm-hmm.
And never got the roof was like that when they bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And they never got a roof inspection.
Nothing more?
Yeah, you're dealing with something underneath that, for sure.
So I'm sorry. So tell me your proposal again.
So the proposal is essentially to grant the retention of all of these, subject to a roof inspection, to specifically make sure that there is not some other roof repair that needs to happen that's clear and present, to also confirm that the actual materiality of the flashing is appropriate, it's a stainless steel or better, for I forget the word when iron
galvanic
there we go, stainless steel or better, and then for the soffit to retain as is, where all three would have to be replaced per VCC guidelines at the time of repair. So for instance, this proposal, if the roof inspection in a week determines that there has to be repair to anything on the roof, it immediately triggers the VCC, and so that you can't retain it.
So do we have the ability to defer all of this until we get the answers to those questions, if that matters?
You could. It would just mean that the applicant would have to come again.
But essentially what we're saying is, if that proposal were to stick, essentially what we're saying is we would have to grant, we would have to allow it until we get a roof inspection. It just doesn't seem efficient.
I see both sides of it. I see the one side of, if the roof inspection comes back positive, then there's no need for another trip. It does save the client some money. If the roof inspection comes back poorly, it automatically kicks it to where this stuff has to be repaired, because the roof inspection will have to, as part of your condition, has to be submitted to the staff.
You still have to come back.
It saves the trip here. It saves the trip back to this group, a docket, all the report, putting it back on, the time for you guys.
I got to come here anyway.
I get you. it's the nature of the client's time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather them spend the money potentially fixing the roof than
spend it on me.
I can see that the roof will eventually need to be replaced.
Absolutely. They always do.
It's the loggia soffit that seems like it could just exist indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really non-compliant.
Now, for that particular one, putting an actual year cap on it, if that was the middle ground, after X number of years, it shall be replaced. So that it's not an immediate hit now. But if by 2030 or disrepair, whichever comes first.
Or the new owner.
We're seeing that this is actually for sale now online. So that might be something I would potentially turn.
So right now, cap flashing is not per the VCC guidelines.
Correct.
The dormer flashing is, there's a question about it.
Yes, it was not done per permit.
So it's either copper or stainless steel. Or stainless steel would be acceptable if that's what the material actually is.
We wrote the permit for copper. It appears that everything else that's up there is copper. I also, with the cap flashing, have not been convinced that that's copper. I think it might be a bronze finished stainless or galvanized. So I think that getting the full report would be very helpful.
And then the soffit is not per the guidelines for what, two reasons: one, the material, and the fact that it's sloping. I mean,
there's a bunch of weird fir downs, and it's sloping in ways that are just atypical. And so, kind of understanding why that was done and if there was a better way to do it. This goes back to, I think, Brian's original or earlier point of, you know, when we review these things in advance, we can help people avoid these situations in the first place.
And that's where, let's assume, since nobody knows behind it, let's assume that we say, look, we have to go do some exploratory stuff, and we find a very good reason why it has to stay like that.
Right.
We've just gone and damaged something that we didn't have to go back. That's where the kind of request to retain and potentially put a time limit on it that's reasonable, or in disclosing that to in a sale, not just in a recorded way, that is where we find it to be more reasonable. Because there could very well be a good enough reason that it's like that outside of the material. And
you know, I want to reiterate too that the current owner was acting in good faith, not his own, that condition was
existed,
uncompliant. Yeah, and so now if it is noted and the building is for sale, the new owner would not have that same excuse, because now in their due diligence, they will see that this is in violation and will be their responsibility to address it.
And with the report or the inspection, there's probably, we don't think there's any way to kind of see what's happening above this as they do their inspection.
I don't know enough about it.
Yeah, it looks like it's sealed pretty well.
Well, I put a thing further, that it has to actually be an MLS. Rather than just put a thing that somebody finds in a title of research, which nobody
We don't have any mechanism to ensure that. I mean, the realtor, I don't have any access to their contract documents, so I can't put it on the MLS for them.
True.
That's why, it behooves the realtor to make sure that they do their due diligence, and they the research to be able to, but they often don't want to because it makes it more complicated to sell. However, my only point is the new owner will not have the benefit of saying they could not have known.
They could not have known.
So they could now know, because this will be in Lama. And so we hope that they do their research. If they don't, there's still going to be a lot for it.
So, we could condition the loggia upon transfer or sale of the property. I think that would put all of the cost on the current owner. If we conditioned it on, within the next 5 years, then that would leave it open as something that could be negotiated between the current owner and a new owner if this property is indeed listed right now.
So if we did that, is it a denial now with a condition that it could be? What would be the mechanism then to do that?
We would be allowing them to retain it for a period that you determine.
So what we had been advised previously by council was that if you want to basically allow temporary retention, that it wouldn't be a motion to approve retention but temporarily, that it would still be a motion for denial with enforcement to be delayed, because we were told that had more of the weight of law as far as potentially things being grandfathered unintentionally.
Yes, that would be correct.
So deny
with no enforcement until
XYZ condition, yeah.
Until roof inspection and
Or we just set a time frame.
I think a roof, to be fair to the staff and you guys, I think a roof inspection in less than 90 days mm-hmm. to be submitted. Because again, that could help trump things in other ways.
Well, it won't help necessarily with the soffit because
correct,
it sounds
correct.
Like, you
that's
know,
just for the flashing and the cap.
Mm-hmm.
On the soffit, we're going to kick it for 5 years. It's denied, but you can't be cited. You can't be held responsible for it for 5 years. And for what it's worth, and if you want to add a condition, again, I'm happy to stick with the same thing, to deny it with the 5 years and contingent on a recording that this agreement exists. That way the ownership can't get out of disclosing that in an act of sale.
But if it was one denial, everything's under one denial, how do you break up the separate things as far as the roof, and then you have the soffit being 5 year, the roof is contingent on the inspection. How do you?
A motion could just list out each one of these. It would be a motion to deny cap flashing, deny defer flashing, deny defer, close your soffit.
Okay.
Just take them one by one. I haven't asked for public comment. No public comment. Commissioners, are we drafting our motions?
I don't know. I'm gonna make them here. Same. So for the cap flashing, same thing. We could deny it. But no enforcement for a certain amount of time. But I know that there's this roof inspection that's going to come into the mix of that. Can we still? Is it still up for debate of, you know, saying that they can keep it for whatever the report says?
Well, I think you delayed enforcement on the roof pending the roofing inspection. So I think you deny it and then defer it pending the roof inspection to be submitted by how many ever days?
Within 90 days.
Sure, and then at that point, you assess whatever happens. So at that point,
so we would defer the enforcement until after.
Correct. And so at that point, if the roof inspection comes back and it's good, then you say 5 years or whatever to be able to get the cap flash or until the roof needs to be replaced, whatever the decision is at that time.
So be aware that as well, just as part of that motion, that a denial can be appealed to the council, and the council could overturn this ruling, and then they could, if they overrule our denial, they would be able to retain the cap flashing permanently. Instead of a potential deferral until after, despite what Mr. Smith says about having to come back, a deferral of, you know, this decision until the roofing inspection has been completed. That way it keeps this in your authority.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And even though you
that's what I was saying. It makes sense.
Overall, I don't have an issue with that because I think the three stages of denial here with the conditions, I think, did get more complicated than I was hoping for. So I think it would make it easier for whatever that final motion be. The one thing I'll say, the opposite of that, is by structuring it this way, I think it'll make it harder for an appeal. Just because it's clear that there's this level of, like, we're not going to hit you now, you know. So, but I'm totally cool with, guys, go get your roofing inspection, come back and see us after you get it, and we'll pick up the conversation in 60 days. Yeah. Knowing there's
market. That only addresses the roof portion, because I don't think that addresses the side.
No, I think the soffit is still sort of...
So you would have to, in your motion, you would have to probably incorporate.
But the thing too is if we deny the soffit, then the same thing could happen. The appeal could go through the.
Right.
They can appeal it to the council.
So is it staff's recommendation to deny only as a last resort?
No, not at all. I'm just drawing awareness.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
all.
So are we on right now a deferral for 60? so we can get that. That's the latest. Mm-hmm. Latest. Okay.
We have an applicant who it seems is willing to work with us, so I wouldn't expect the applicant to try to go over the VCC to get an appeal with the city council on these items.
I go to the Fourth Circuit office.
Then again, anything's possible.
Well, you said this is up for sale again.
Yeah. It is listed online.
Yeah, so.
Does anyone have a motion?
I make a motion that we defer cap flashing dormer and soffit until an inspection report can be done within, I think we said 90 days, but with that we need to have the approximate age and character of the roof, the flashings, and have the ability to do a little bit of inspection of what's happening underneath the soffit. And then at that point, you know, come back to, would that go back to architectural?
And maybe like the material of the soffit. Maybe some credentials about what
and
type
material.
Of soffit.
All right, do we have a second for that?
I'll say.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
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 None opposed.
Y'all want this to come directly back to the commission, right? Or go to the committee for their determination and then come here?
I think I'd rather go back to committee.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the motion for deferral passes. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you.
Thanks, Zach.
Thank you. I really appreciate the consideration.
Next up on the agenda is 1014 St. Philip. Do we have an applicant for 1014 St. Philip?
They have requested a deferral until the next meeting.
Right. Is that okay with y'all, staff?
Yeah, it seems like there was a medical reason for requesting them.
Okay. All right. Do we have a motion to defer 1014 St. Philip?
So moved. Twice.
All right. Do we have a second for that?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That is deferred. That brings us to the end of our agenda. We have ratification of architectural committee and staff action since the Wednesday, December 13th VCC meeting. I take it y'all have all received that mm-hmm. information. Does anyone have any comments or corrections, questions? Would y'all like to move to ratify?
Make a motion to ratify.
Do we have a second for that?
Second.
In favor?
Aye.
Aye. We have ratified those actions. And that brings us to the end of the agenda. The time is 11:32. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I'm going to move to adjourn.
Do we have a second?
No, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned. Thank you all.
What's going on, man?